You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Your calls at 800-919-3776. We'll continue with all of you Knicks fans wanting to make your pick. Now that you know, it is Knicks Sixers. It starts on Saturday evening. You get a 6 p.m. tip-off. It'll be on ESPN, also on MSG, and of course right here on 98.7 ESPN. And what we get now is pretty cool because we get the every other day thing. We get the Knicks Saturday, we got the Rangers, right? The Islanders are playing Saturday too. But you're getting every day now. We got playoff games every day. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. So you get Knicks Saturday at the Garden. Knicks Saturday, Rangers Sunday, Knicks Monday. Are the Rangers Tuesday? Are we getting that? Is there game two Tuesday at MSG?
Only game ones have been announced for the East.
We don't know. Okay, we don't know the whole schedule. But still, the everyday thing, this is where it gets to be a lot of fun. Rarity tonight, though. Nothing on the schedule. Baseball teams are off, and
so that mean we have
no basketball,
that mean we got
no
nothing
hockey
to talk about on Friday.
Tomorrow, nothing. Might as well not
so
show
tomorrow
up.
We just going to do the gout.
Stay
it's
home.
The debut of the gout.
Tomorrow's the gout?
It's the debut of the gout.
Jacob, are you working tomorrow? Please say yes.
I will be working tomorrow.
All right, so the gout is official tomorrow.
I thought we were doing Red Wings baggy day, no?
That hit hard. Look at Bart's face.
I'm not going to respond to the disrespect.
Bart, you had to see it. Dino, Bart had a big smile on his face. Then you said that, and that went to a frown quick.
It's okay.
I'm like, you hit me in my winky.
It's okay. It's like Donnie McClurkin. We fall down, okay, but we get up.
All right, well.
For the tennis. Oh, never. I messed it up.
All right, well, let's focus on football right now. Again, the basketball calls, just stay right where you are. We will get back to you. But
hold our beer, basketball.
We are a week now away from the draft. And the intrigue is always the week before, as you know. It just starts to get silly, and we start to build all the smoke screens and everything else. Joe Shane spoke just a little while ago with the New York media, and he had some interesting things to say, including this one. He says about pick number six, he's getting a lot of calls.
Surprisingly, at six, we've gotten a lot of calls from people behind us. So I didn't think I'd have as much activity at six from people behind me as we've gotten. So those are options, too. As we look at, you know, if we go back, how far back do we want to go? Is this team for, okay, then for the stack I was just talking about, okay, now there's 10 names instead of six or 15 names. Instead. Where does it make sense for us to move back, and what else can we get with that? So we're taking all that, whether we go up, back, stay, all that's, you know, being talked about right now as we're going through it.
Of course. We've been saying that. Now, the issue is what's being reported at three.
You want to get to that immediately, or do you want to hear from more Joe Shane?
Let's hear some more Joe Shane.
Well, I was going to say, because we can, since you teased it, I will tell you that
I love the reports, too, that comes out now. Everybody, reports are.
Well, Elliot Wolf is the director of scouting for the New England Patriots, and he is running the draft. And he said earlier today, we are open to anything, moving up, moving down.
I know it's not audio files.
Here, this is what he said.
But do you want to hear from his voice?
Here you go. Yeah, I was going to put in audio files, but since you brought it
up. We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft. We're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board recommends it, we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
When has the Patriots
moving up from three is really like it's, I don't know how you where you going.
When have the Patriots ever been a draft and develop team? Name me the last big time draft pick that they picked up that we like outside
Drew Bledsoe.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
No, seriously, Drew Bledsoe.
That's what I'm saying.
That was the last major pick that was like a big deal for them.
I mean, I can't remember. Like, I mean, maybe Logan Mankins. I don't know. Like, he had a bad streak. Bill Belichick had a bad streak, so they're trying to change that. But here's the question.
Okay.
If it's at three, I wonder if they're open for business. They got to be open for business on draft day. just in case the Commanders go Commander.
Oh, and not take Jalen Daniels?
Yeah. Right. So I think if we're going to have it open for business, you know, if I'm the Patriots.
The fact
that
they had Michael Penix come in on that trip, on that visit.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. But Daniels seems to be the given, although
people
what
think
we're
that
hearing,
he's the best.
What we're hearing, though, is that it is not unanimous within the Commanders organization.
It's never unanimous.
That is, there's a whole faction that wants Drake May.
Yeah.
So who knows who wins this? Who wins that debate?
Because here's the argument, right? And right. I'll play devil's advocate.
I don't want to get stuck on the Commanders, though. I really want to stick to the Giants.
Well, it's about the draft.
Okay.
It's about, because this is what we're talking about.
Yep.
Because if they go crazy, I think the whole board goes crazy. If Drake May goes.
So if Jaden Daniels doesn't get taken second.
Then New England's going to say, nah, I'm going with Jaden Daniels. You know what I'm saying?
Are you sure?
You already heard OJ.
Are you sure?
You already heard Jerry Mayo say he sees color. Come on, a black athletic quarterback in New England.
Yeah, yeah.
First black head coach in New England. Things are changing.
Robert Kraft certainly.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now that changes the board, right?
It does.
But so that means New England.
So May goes second. Daniels goes third to the Patriots.
Right, because I think they may not like another developmental quarterback, maybe.
But how does that change anything? Those three were still supposed to go 1-2-3. It's in some way or another.
What it does is it makes New England take the pick.
Oh, instead of trading it.
Right.
So you're telling me that if Daniels goes two, do the Patriots go, we don't really want May.
Right. And maybe move back and consider
somebody else
the options,
May.
Right? So then whose spot makes if that's the case, then they may move out. So now the Giants spot ain't so juicy no more for J.J. McCarthy. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that's where I was going with this whole thing. Because the sixth pick and McCarthy, or jumping up to four, which we've already talked about yesterday,
I mean, this is
and
crazy
getting
thing.
McCarthy is something that has been – it's a whisper to a scream right now around the Giants. It is something that – J.J. McCarthy and the Giants are getting closer and closer as they – like, Dable might want him.
See,
and there's people that think that would be a huge mistake.
How about this?
Not taking the skill player.
Who's had more success with a Michigan quarterback than the Patriots organization?
Of course.
So what if the Patriots want to move back?
The Boston team takes the Irishman. How cliche is that?
And they tell
we got McCarthy.
Right. We got him.
Right.
And they tell Daboll, hey, you want Drake May? Give me a second round pick, and you can move up to third.
It's really interesting.
Because Drake May reminds everybody of who? That would be Josh Allen.
Similar skill set.
6'4", 230.
With legs.
With legs, yeah, and a cannon.
Yeah. Well, all right, so Joe Shane, more on him. So here's also, do you need to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience, and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way, so I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
Do you believe it? Is that no?
No, but that's true, though. Like,
I was just going to say to you, can we turn on the BS translator? Are you serious?
I mean, Tommy DeVito, you're number three. He played in one game where he was a little insanity. Like, Drew Locke is a good quarterback.
Right, this is smokescreen. This is classic smokescreen.
No, it is. But what I'm saying is...
No. We're quite happy with our quarterback. You know, the guy that we can get out of his $40 million a year after this season. And then the DeVito guy who our coach waited three games to let him throw a football.
I mean...
Like, come on, man.
But the thing is, they can say...
And then Drew Locke we brought in to not be a starter.
But they can say, hey, next year, who's to say we can't go get...
Who? Shedeur Sanders?
No.
Oh, you got a name?
I mean, who's to say that they won't be in the running for Justin Fields?
Justin Fields? Didn't he go to Pittsburgh?
It's a one-year deal.
So is Russell Wilson.
I get that. But now it becomes about negotiating.
Who do you think has a better chance of lasting there? Russell Wilson, who's now on his third team in three years?
Correct.
Four years?
But if Justin Fields is a free agent, it's up to him to go where he wants to go.
Okay. So we continue with Joe Shane, the Giants GM, talking about the draft. Like, there's a lot of little things about what's happening at the top. But all right, how about, since he mentioned he's getting a lot of calls at six, what's going to go into the decision of moving up or down?
My job is to do what's best for the franchise. So if there's an opportunity to go up, move back, stay, whether it's in the first round, third round, fifth round, that's what we'll do. But you take all that into account when you're making those type of decisions. And, you know, again, that's some of the planning and strategy and some of those meetings that we'll have over the next couple of days and the what ifs, if this, then, and you go back and forth on it. And the good thing is you have the first round. On Thursday, you can, you know, regroup, you know, going into Friday before the second and third round and have those conversations again. So, you know, the draft being over a three-day period helps you in terms of when you have those meetings and those strategy sessions, when you decide if you're going to go up, down, you know, which players you like. So those are all things that we'll talk about over the next week or so.
The most important, obviously, is the very beginning. But, again, second round is another area that you would try to move up, as Mel Kiper did suggest that they should move up with the second round and try to get Bo Nix. If you want to get yourself a quarterback, that's what he's suggesting, is go that route.
Or Rittler, right?
Spencer Rattler would probably be a little bit later on.
Rittler.
Rattler. Yeah, Rittler, Rattler, the Riddler. But as I said, I think one thing that Joe Shane has kind of showed us is that he is good about talking without saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, that answer he had about the quarterbacks, I felt like was more smokescreen than anything else. I'm not showing you my cards, which is a good thing, of course, because you don't want teams around you to know what you're doing. So he was asked about that.
Yeah, I would say, especially at six, you know, where we're picking, I think, you know, again, at 25, it's a little bit, you're so far back there, you don't really know what's going to happen ahead of you. So, yeah, I think at six, it's important to, you know, keep things close to the vest. And, you know, again, so you can, you know, there's a competitive advantage to that, to people not knowing what you're thinking or which way you're going to go. And you've got to have a lot of trust, you know, when you're there, when you do have conversations, again, with people behind you looking to come up or whatever it may be. So, yeah, you try your best to keep your cards close.
He's a young guy, but he's sharp. Yeah. I really like Joe Shane a lot.
Watch out for the Chargers.
You're right about that. There's other teams
five
that are going to be looking to do the same thing. Yep, doing the same thing you're doing. Now, how about the latest again with Daniel Jones? So let me see. There's first and foremost, just checking in on what Joe Shane knows about Daniel Jones' condition.
Daniel's doing well. He's running straight line and he's throwing. There haven't been any setbacks, so hopefully, you know, he's on track for a training camp. I believe he said that the other day, and that's the plan as long as there's, you know, no setbacks.
Okay, the knee is obviously what he's recovering from, but the neck was the concern, although you remember earlier this week, Daniel Jones said it was like a stinger, that it wasn't anything serious, it wasn't anything major, and he feels like that is completely behind him. But we all know the contract situation that they signed him to, and they have the ability after this season to get out of the deal and move on from Daniel Jones, which everybody believes he gone. Mm. Like, everybody believes that, but the Giants don't want to put that kind of language out there for two reasons. Number one, because you need him to play for you this year.
Right,
you need and Daniel Jones even had that disconnect, didn't he? Like, when he spoke about it, he's aware of it, and he didn't really talk with much passion about being a Giant. Just he's playing for himself right now. So the Giants GM was asked where he is short-term and long-term when it comes to Daniel Jones as his quarterback.
Like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. One of the things, you know, you go back and you watch the 2022 season or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like, he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level, and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. And I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Do we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
Confidence at least one more season. Now, there's one more thing we'll get to, and then Bart, then obviously you can start reacting to all this stuff, is something that you have talked about extensively over the last couple of days, and that is the future of Darren Waller, the tight end who a week ago kind of suggested, I don't really know if I want to go through what it takes to get ready for an NFL season. He is contemplating retirement, knows he needs to tell the Giants at some point. He thought during the break in the summer before training camp begins, which might be a little late. So there is right now in a uncertain place with last year's big acquisition, Darren Waller. So, okay, Joe, where are you guys at with him?
Yeah, we're giving Darren his space. We've had conversations with Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, and he's kept us in the loop on Darren. So we're giving him space. Hopefully he's going to make a decision here in the short term, but we're giving him time and his space to make a decision on what he wants to do. No, we haven't given him a deadline.
No deadline for him. All right, so assess everything you just heard here, Bart.
I mean, one, I'll start from the last point to the first. In my opinion, like, you can't let Darren Waller dictate to you. He's not that good of a player at this point in his career to be dictating terms and deadlines. I mean, I need to tell him, I need a hard yes or no, man. Because, one, you need to get the hell in here. You was only in this offense 1 year. And you didn't get a lot of time with Daniel Jones. Not that Daniel Jones is throwing right now or doing much as he's rehabbing. But you need to be here. You need to be getting the nuance of this offense as well. Because guess what? You weren't healthy last year. You weren't on the field a lot. So I need you to get here and get better in our system, our verbiage, our adjustments. No different from any other player. Secondly, man, I need to know if I can spend some of that money to be able to go out. Because right after the draft, guess what's going to happen? Guys that's sitting out there like Justin Simmons, they need a safety. They lost McKinney. Right? It's guys out there that, hey, man, I'd much rather spend that money on a 30-year-old, you know, best safety in the league to shore up my defense if I can, right? It's people out there I can go sign with that money. It's things that I can do. I need to know if on draft day, I hate the fact that on draft day, if I go out and I get Bowers, or decide to move back and get more draft capital, trade with Minnesota, I want to be able to know, hey, man, can I make a big play because I have the money and the space to be able to go sign a guy like Brandon Ayuk, give up a second-round draft pick for Brandon Ayuk on draft day. You know, when you think about the teams like San Francisco, they may say, hell, we got a receiver that we love in the second round. Remember, the receiver is the deepest thing. So they might say, hey, we already got Debo. So Debo's our number one, Kittle's our number two. Let's go replace Brandon Ayuk with a young Thundercat that we can use.
Well, here's Joe Shane talking about the wide receivers in this draft.
I do think it's a deep, you know, wide receiver draft from top to bottom, depending on what you're looking for. So, you know, some added value with guys, the new kickoff rules, and the guys that can also do returns. You know, I think there's an added element there, too, and there's some receivers that can wear multiple hats, not just as a receiver, but also as returners. So, yeah, I do think it's a good draft. And again, I don't know however people have them ranked, but just in general, to your question, I think it is a good draft from the receiver position. I think there will be several taken in the first round.
I think they're setting up to try to do something more than just make a pick and move on. It just sounds like he knows how important this draft is for the Giants and for his tenure. I mean, this is his first big draft that he can have a real impact on building the roster.
Well, last year was big for him with Banks and Thibodeau.
Didn't
both of them go in the first round?
Oh, God. Was Banks a first round?
I think so.
He might have been.
From Maryland.
Yeah, well, we know Thibodeau certainly was. Now let me also add this part of it as far as whispers go. There are a lot of whispers that are connecting the Giants with McCarthy. That there's a lot of suggestions that's what Dable wants. And they could move up. They could also, if he's there at six. But there is some angling about McCarthy and the Giants. And Logan Ryan was on with your ex, Chris Carlin.
Ah.
Yeah, Carlin and Joe, right? Fortenbaugh, right. I love Joe. And Logan Ryan had this to say about J.J. McCarthy and the Giants.
New Yorkers, listen to me here. Do not trade up and give assets to get J.J. McCarthy at four.
Thank you.
I just don't see if he's a better prospect than Daniel Jones coming out of college. Now, Daniel Jones' biggest issue, and I've played with Daniel. Guys love Daniel. Daniel works hard. Daniel earns respect of his teammates. Obviously, we're talking about we need more wins and losses. Daniel's biggest issue is staying healthy. And I think the injury history is why you may be weary of Daniel Jones. But you don't have the assets on offense to draft a McCarthy and say he's going to beat out Daniel this year, and who's he going to throw to? So I think you get one of these top pass catchers.
See, that's logical thinking. You and I have been saying this. If you want to get a quarterback, get him in the second round. If you feel like you need somebody for the future, fine. I don't believe what he's saying about Tommy Cutlets. Like, I'm not buying that. Yeah, they like him. He's a novelty, but there's no way they're looking at him as the quarterback of the future.
Yeah, what's the quarterback they had on for a long time around here?
Ryan Nassib?
Yeah, Nassib. Yeah. He's like Ryan Nassib.
Yeah.
He's Eli's beer.
You know, again, and not to be disrespectful, but DeVito is what he is, and I'm sure he knows it too. You want to get a young quarterback and just have somebody in the stable to develop, fine. But the idea that you just are like, I'm done with Daniel Jones because of the injuries and everything else, you need to get better at offensive line, and you need to get him some actual weapons, please.
Yeah, but
you got to get him some. And you took Saquon away, so now there's even less weapons. You're going to bring in a rookie quarterback and have him with no weapons whatsoever?
Well, to go back, devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
If they decide to go McCarthy, if that's what Daboll wants, and that's
now you're out of the Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze. Like, you're out of that now.
Right, but.
But.
When you still have T. Higgins and you still have.
No, then you'd have to make another blockbuster trade.
Right, but you have the money. Get rid of Darren Waller.
And then Waller would have to, okay.
They still have good, Giants still have good salary cap space too. They have good, so they can go get Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
Or they can go get T. Higgins. Now, if they go get their quarterback and get T. Higgins,
who
cares? They're not paying nobody else. They're not paying a running back no money. Who is the Giants really paying money to? They really not, outside of Andrew Thomas.
Well, they just gave Burns money.
Yeah, Burns and Andrew Thomas.
And obviously Andrew Thomas got paid, and then Daniel Jones got paid.
Or Karake.
Right.
But those aren't crazy, crazy.
Didn't Sexy Dexy get, he also got a new deal, right?
But they let Leonard Williams go, so that created more money.
Okay. All right, so that's the setup there with the Giants. There's more to get to with the Jets and things we're hearing about them as we're a week away from the draft, including it just feels like it is for the Jets.
They should draft Aaron Rodgers in the third round. Like, just to make y'all mad.
It is
the Jets select Aaron Rodgers.
It feels like a collision course, however, for the Jets. And there was something that happened earlier this week that should have been the giveaway. And a lot of people, including one of our experts, believes it is the giveaway for what they are going to do with the 10th pick in the draft. As a Jets fan, you might not love it, but I know Aaron Rodgers will. We'll explain that, of course, a little bit later on in the show. But coming up next, you know what time it is. It's time for Audio Files. That we will get to momentarily, but I do have to do something here, don't I? Yes. The NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Three-pointers made in a game, but you want the Celtics to take the over because they love putting up threes. Over-under in the point totals, take the under in this Sixers-Knicks series. First basket score, that's one you got to do your homework. First play called for who on a nightly basis? Maybe a little Jalen Brunson first basket score. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen to get started. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 or older, physically present in New York, first online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The Mets wrap up a 5-1 homestand, now just half a game out of second place in the National League East. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Dave said he likes what he sees.
So, and I'll be honest, when they were 0-5, like, I thought they were on the verge of being completely done. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I was panicked. I thought that this season was going to be, they'll never see 500 again, and they're going to go through the doldrums of a rebuilding 162 games, and maybe we have to start to give Stearns a little more credit than we did and say that this guy, he's good, he's solid, he knows what he's doing. For all the negativity that we've heard about, how could you not sign Montgomery, and why do you not go out and sign Justin Turner? This is the crafty handiwork of David Stearns as well, the bullpen, and he's done a really nice job with that bullpen.
That is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3:00, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured.
It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Lots of calls to get to. I thought you were ready to spit. You ready to spit?
No, I'm done.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. So with no games tonight, it does feel like we can advance the playoffs. We could talk more about the matchup for game one, right? Knicks and Sixers. And the hockey stuff that's coming up as well. And, you know, the Yankees will be – they're coming home now, so they'll be opening up a series, I think, with the Rays tomorrow night. So there's all that stuff. But tomorrow's show could be just a – you know, just a, an F It Friday kind of vehicle. Little 98.7, the gout. Mm. Do you believe it or not, I have gotten more than one message. I've gotten several messages, more than one. Obviously, it means multiple.
Multiple.
I've gotten several messages, so it's actually more than two. From people in the industry who are in on the gout.
That'd be dope, man.
Offering up their like their services, their production companies. Like, if you guys want to do this, we're going to do it.
Yo, listen.
I just want a radio station to reach out to us.
Music and sports go together like peanut butter and jelly,
man. That's what I'm saying.
We can talk about great moments and centered around the soundtrack of that moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go to that time. What was the best song from that run, from this, that, from that debate?
For that year, yeah. What was going on?
You know what I mean?
I used to hate, like, when I was graduating, I think it was middle school.
Right.
That's when Whoop Dead Is was there.
Oh, my God. There was two versions of that stupid song.
Tag Team.
Back again.
And then Raise the Roof. Every white person in the world was raising the roof.
I was not raising any roof.
Raise the roof. Like, no. Man, my principal, raise the roof. Like, come on, man.
When they started doing that, did you just feel like it's over now?
I'm like, it's dead.
It's dead.
It's dead.
All right, well, right now this conversation is dead. But your calls are not at 800-919-3776, and we will get back to them. But right now, you know, Bart, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audiophile. The Audiophile.
All right, so the news yesterday was during our show, Jontay Porter, the big man from the Raptors and their G League team, was banned from the NBA for his participation in betting on basketball, including him putting bets on the Raptors to lose, but also telling people that about his situation. All right, when I check in the game, I'm going to take the under on me, and then he fakes an illness and comes out of the game, and some guy was going to win $1 million off of it, but did not. So all this stuff was found out, and so he is now banned from the league. It was an example that Adam Silver had to make. And Adam Silver spoke about it and did talk about how with these partnerships that these leagues have with the gambling companies that you might have to make some adjustments.
We're learning a lot about this industry, the impact of marketing on fans, on activity in our arenas. We've heard those stories that of players and coaches of, you know, that's not anything new, but anecdotally at least, it's increasing in terms of fans yelling out at players about over-unders and yelling at coaches about playing players and fans disappointed about spreads not being covered. We all have to address that as an industry, including the gaming companies, and decide where the proper lines are. There's nothing more important than the integrity of the competition. This is a burgeoning industry in the United States. As these unfortunate examples come along, we may have to adjust our rules. Our partner gaming companies and those companies that aren't our partners may have to adjust their behavior as well.
And you think about it, it's more the behavior of the people that are engaged. And you just heard what he said. It's fans and players. yelling at players, yelling at coaches during games about things, or going after them on social media, which has been going on forever. I mean, this is nothing new.
We got to be bigger than that.
It's but we're not, because you know humanity does have its dregs along with its good people.
No, not the minions. Us. Like it comes with a level of criticism. Like you're supposed to be able to turn your back to people yelling at you. Now, when it becomes death threats,
when it does happen.
When it gets that, yeah, then that's different. That you got to have the proper authorities. That's why you got to have the proper monitoring systems to be able to find people's IP addresses if they want to do that. But it's always going to be a level of criticism. Before it was this, it was fantasy football where people were.
I was just going to say that. Fantasy football, I mean, in your sport, it was already a problem.
Yeah.
So definitely something that for the NBA that. You know, and other leagues, you're just going to have to deal with. But that was the first big story in the new era, of course, of sports betting. Did you see this bizarre situation? Caitlin Clark, introduced to the media in Indianapolis, as she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She is with the Indiana Fever. And Greg Doyle has been a longtime columnist for the Indianapolis Star. And he decides that it's his turn to ask a question, and it just gets weird.
Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
He does the heart
like
with his hands.
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine.
Yeah, you got to make sure that.
Level of creep there. Like, and to Doyle, to his defense, you see what he was trying to do. And what he's saying is, you do that with me, we'll get along fine. It only means, like, because I'm covering you and, like, just the sarcastic, like, hey, be nice to me and I'll be nice to you. You know,
I'm him.
But
I'm the guy you want.
But people
side.
Saw a middle-aged man and a 22-year-old girl, and that kind of interaction just came off completely the wrong way.
Yeah.
He apologized for it, and he said it was awkward. He knows it. He was trying to just have fun with something that did not work, and therefore it just, you know, it's a terrible way to begin things. But you know, this is a different world. The bigger women's sports gets to, we can't, like, as much as you're like, you want to treat the women athletes just like you would treat the men, which means criticism's going to come with it and all that other stuff.
But tone, but you also understand.
Yes.
Can't talk about, you know, can't say honey, sweetie, all that type of stuff.
Well, not even that.
Like, yeah, yeah. But all that.
Just being a little too friendly.
Right. And, you know, I also.
Can't be like that either.
I applaud Nike, right? Because we know that, you know, The salary, $78,000.
Again,
operation manager twice that.
Listen.
He's 26.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because I've had this discussion with a lot of different people I talked about this yesterday, in fact, with somebody. I was at LIU, my alma mater. I'm doing stuff with Rock Nation School, which is awesome. And so we had a meeting, and one of the things we started talking about Caitlin Clark, and one of the parts of the conversation was, I don't like the fact that there's an imbalance in the salaries. And I said, well, that's going to change. But it's not going to change overnight. It changes because
it's going to take two seasons.
Broadcasting deals are the foundation, right? So that's number one. So all the money that comes in from broadcasting deals, there's a 50-50 split when it comes to the athlete and the league, the owners. Right. That pie is not big enough right now to make your salary larger. It will come with
two seasons.
Sponsorships, broadcasting deals, the attendance figures that go up and all that stuff, more demand.
If she has this effect, then listen, people
say, it's supply and demand, and so that number's going to go up, but it isn't going to go up overnight. So right now it's going to look ridiculous. Right. But because of, you said, Nike and Gatorade and all the others, they will make up that salary. So she doesn't have to go play in Turkey and in Russia. And listen, she can stay right here.
Well, she's going
to
get an eight-figure deal. They're working on an eight-figure
deal right now. So will Angel Reese, and so will Cameron Brinks. They will all get it.
So And it's not like we haven't had polarizing women basketball players before.
But not like this. This is different.
I know.
This has caught fire.
I think this is the right timing because we've had beautiful basketball players going from college there. What's the one that everybody wanted that went to Notre Dame?
Skylar Diggins.
Like, we've had, like, gorgeous supermodel type girls that went there.
But it doesn't have to be about that. It could be about how good they are.
No. I'm saying we've had both. Like, Angel Reese has also taken that mantle to be able to show femininity, high-end fashion, right? She announced on Vogue that she was going to the league. You know what I'm saying?
They have gone the route of, like, Olivia Dunn in gymnastics and the Cavallari twins when it comes to college basketball, like, where you're not just selling yourself as an athlete, but also as a personality.
As a brand.
And a brand, yes.
And so, like, I think it's going to take two – Because we'll see if this has the effect. And I wish that Cordoza and Angel Reese would have went somewhere else, because then that rivalry could have got kicked up, you know, from them, you know, battling and fighting. But, you know, they're on the same team, so they can be the bullies or something like that. The Twin Towers, we can do Ralph Sampson / Akeem Olajuwon again. But, you know, I do like where it's going. And, you know, I think it's going to take a couple seasons, and it's going to take the streaming to get up. And it's going to take the fans that love Caitlin Clark. And the fact, you know, we can say what we want, the fact that her race and she's from the middle of the country is going to help promote, because other people identify with her. They see themselves in her. Little girls are
white girl from Iowa playing in Indiana
are going to be inspired that, hey, that you can be a big star no matter where you're from. So she's going to galvanize middle of America as well.
Okay.
You know what I mean? No different than how Larry Bird did and how Magic Johnson did it, coming from Detroit, the workers' place. Showtime wasn't from L.A. or from New York or from any places. He's from middle of America. And I think that he brought the middle of America to the mainstream. So when he did Showtime, not only did he have the people that was in Showtime, he had the people from Michigan in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
He was ours.
Yeah. He had the middle America background with the LA smile.
Exactly.
And he was able to blend all that
like
together.
I feel like Caitlin Clark has that too. Just, she says the right things.
Yeah. She handled that well, too. The whole thing with Greg Doyle, that was an awkward moment that she handled well.
Super witty, you know what I mean? And so, if she has success and her team moves up from being like a small team,
her and a good team. Her what's her name? Boston.
Olivia Boston.
Not Olivia.
I mean, Boston.
Aaliyah Boston.
I knew it was A. From South Carolina, right?
The two of them now have to really start winning games. They're going to be on a lot of national games.
Them red jerseys?
All right.
Garbage.
Last but not least, did you hear this Jason Kelce story?
Yep.
How he lost his Super Bowl ring?
And some chili.
In some chili that they were at the University of Cincinnati doing stuff like, you know, it was good. They were trying to have some fun and being part in some events. And listen to this story.
Mixed into that chili were socks with make-believe rings. And then there's actually only one real ring in there, which was my Super Bowl ring, that they had to try and find. One in each pool. But there was an unfortunateness. As you guys know, this game existed because I continually lose my Super Bowl ring. And I don't even know if Travis still knows this. But I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. We have still yet to find it.
What did you expect to happen?
I thought that we would just go in the pool and get the ring afterwards.
You're such a imbecile.
Just have another one made, I think. They can do that, right?
I don't know, Jason. Probably.
Guess we're going to find out.
Oh, they found the ring. Somebody found the ring.
Somebody found it. But his now, I guess he's got to get a new one, he says. So that's the story. The Kelce brothers just having so much. They're living life. They're having so much fun. It seems like everything that happens to them is funny.
He's hosting a game show.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So not Jason. Travis.
Oh, Travis. Yeah, oh, I thought because Jason would be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. But Travis is hosting a game show. I forgot what it is.
All right.
But he's going to host a game show.
All right.
I guess he's going to tape all 30 episodes before
the
season starts.
That's usually how they do it. That's how they do it anyway. All right. Well, one more here and I wanted to save this for last because this is just epic. So Pete Fairbanks, you know, the closer for the Rays, he was excellent. You know, he's been a really good closer. This year, not so much. He has been very bad. He's a 9 ERA. He has struggled. He's given up runs, which you don't ever want for a closer to do. His latest outing was a disaster where he gave up 2 runs, walked 2, and barely lasted the inning. So after the game, he was asked if he could just break down, like, what happened tonight? And this is his response.
No, I thought it generally sucked. I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck. So, you know, we're going to try and rectify that. But for right now, I'm going to be pretty pissed about it.
Pete, where do you kind of go from here? Is it looking at tape? Is it going through mechanics? Where do you kind of go from here?
You tell me. I've tried that. If you got an answer, I'd love to hear. Just, you know, not going to let it beat me up for, you know, I'll maybe give it till 10. It's 9:44 right now. We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
16 minutes, and then I'm good.
16 minutes, and y'all will be pissed for 2 more days but to my next start.
His whole breakdown of the level of suck, like that alone, it just, look.
I sucked pretty.
As an athlete, Bart, you know, you were really good in post-game a lot of times, right?
I sucked.
But I got to tell you, as a reporter, this is, when you say, what do you want from me? That's what I want. When you have a bad game, I don't want you to just kind of, you know, don't give me platitudes, don't give me cliches, I want over the top honesty. Like, make it the most ridiculously honest answer possible, because you just took a negative and made it a positive. Fairbanks had all his fans mad because they had a one-run lead, and he blew the save and then blew the game and lost.
Yeah.
So, what your fans are now mad at you, but then they see that, and they're like, you know what? I love the guy. I can't help it. I love him.
He should have said, you know what? We get paid on Thursdays. I'm going to go with a ski mask on because I ride the ass this week. I don't know how it could be worse.
I would love if you did that.
They could have got anybody.
Imagine being a kicker, right? Yeah. You missed a field goal. You missed, like, let's say you missed two extra points, like one extra point and two field goals, including a potential game winner. And you go, and it's like, so, you know, what happened there? You know, I sucked.
Yeah,
my game check this week, should probably just not. I should probably not cash that one.
I think I'm gonna take the bus back because I think somebody might punch me in the head if I fall asleep on the plane. Yeah, I'll meet the guys on Tuesday. I'm going to take the bus all the way across country so I can think about how
bad
I am.
Nobody will hate you. Nobody will hate you anymore. That was a perfect response to like what was an absolute disaster. But I love that he gave himself 16 minutes, and then I'll get over it.
Yeah. How much? 11.
Tremendous. That is Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. Back to your calls. We will go on the Knicks. Now you know who they're going to face, the Sixers. Vegas says the Sixers are the favored team. What do you say? Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
You done chose wrong.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, so the second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Everybody can come out and see the live broadcast. It starts at 6 a.m. That's right, 6 a.m. Note the start time from Publicans in Manhasset. Now, that's just steps away from the Manhasset train station on the LIRR. And why is that significant? Well, because after the show, the crew is going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game that the Mets have against the Cubs that day. So you go to the show, 6 a.m. What do you think? Little mimosa?
Yeah.
What do you think? Bloody Mary?
Bloody Mary, yeah.
Right? Hang out, listen to the show, talk to the boys.
Hot
then,
tidy. It's cold as it's been out here, a little hot tide.
I mean, this is May 2nd, so maybe it'll get a little bit warmer. Yeah, early in the morning, too.
Hot tide.
But then you get to hold hands with Rick and walk to the train, sit next to him, take pictures. He loves taking selfies. Loves it. Selfies.
So maybe if you're
doing like IG Live, he'll say hi to your friends.
So if you're a fan, maybe you should go get a selfie stick.
That would be a great idea.
So the angles are right. You know what I'm saying? Too close, you look chubby, a bad angle.
Yeah, you always got to be careful with that. But I mean, you put your arm around him for sure. Loves that. You know, have Dave like send messages to your friends. Dave, say something funny. Dave, say something crazy. Right? All on the train, the whole ride.
I want to see them doing.
Then you get to go to the game.
I want to see them doing like a Harlem Shake type of.
Oh,
like,
a TikTok video on the train. Oh, my God. If any two guys are all about making a TikTok group dance video on the train, I can't think of other. Dave and Rick are those two guys.
We plan a couple.
Be fun.
plant a couple dancers on their route.
Could be great.
On.
That could be tremendous. Imagine that. How many? I mean, that would go viral.
Super viral.
TikTok video with Dave and Rick dancing on the LIRR. What song? I need a good one.
Everybody, shake your body.
Oh, it would have to be like a Backstreet Boys song. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, and it's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and Bart by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. But Bart, please Zing Zang responsibly, okay?
Zing Zang.
Please Zing Zang responsibly. 800-919-3776. We'll get back into the Nick conversation coming up in just a few minutes because, honestly, again, this now that we know who they're playing, you get to make your picks now. Stake your claim and tell me now what you think is going to happen in this series. You watched the Sixers last night. You saw what Joel Embiid looks like. Vegas is saying the Sixers are still the favorite team. Vegas is saying that. What are you saying? We're going to stack up calls in the Power Hour and talk with you about that and more coming up next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So game one, Knicks Sixers set for Saturday at 6. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, Dave said now that we know that it's Philly in the first round, he's not frightened.
This Knicks team is better than last year's Knicks team. They're better. And in fairness, as good as Brunson was, I think he's better than he was last year. Adenobi is a huge upgrade. I think this Knicks team is considerably better, and I don't think Philly's all that great. I don't. I'm not nervous about Philadelphia. I'm just not. I don't think they're a great team. I do not believe that Embiid is remotely healthy, and let's go.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.